as the year turned this year, we felt like the Lord was really moving us into a season of fasting. And we know how much people hate fasting and prayer. We know how much the church doesn't pray. So this is a pressing season. You can actually judge the health of a church by the prayer of a church. It's true. And so it's maybe not necessarily food or social media, but maybe something. How many, can I just see a raise of hands? How many of us here have decided to make some type of commitment and do some type of fasting during this season? Oh, that's so good. So many of you. So good. Fasting is something that I've worked into my yearly routine. So this is not to brag, but this is to set some type of expectation or goal or even just a plan. Sometimes people say, I don't really know how to do this, but I can't not eat for 3 days. So that's just crazy. I would die. Right? So, and some of you would. So there has to be wisdom in that. So what I've done in my life just over the years to stretch, a lot of people that have run with me know this is kind of my routine, is I'll give up a meal a day, I'll give up a day a week, I'll give up a week a month, and I'll give up a month a year. And I try to press into that with the Lord's guidance. And every single day. So I just want to relieve you, if you said, I'm going to fast, I'm going to do it, and then Instacart accidentally delivered food to your house. This is a fast of grace. This is not a fast of the law. This is a fast. So I want to tell you a little story. I was fasting. I was doing Instagram, YouTube videos, and I was taking a group into fasting, and right smack dab in the middle of it, we had a heat wave, and it was like 95 degrees outside, sunny in the middle of the sun. And our neighbor came over and was like begging over the fence, can I just jump in your pool to cool off, please? It's like a 10-year-old boy. And I said, yeah, sure, man, come on over, grab your towel. Can you swim? Jump on in, have fun, cool off, stay in the pool all day. So he did, and he played with our kids, and we had a good time. And I had really not known this guy before, his boy. So he comes back the next day because it's like even hotter. And this time he's carrying something, and I'm fasting. I'm doing like the all-out fast, like don't even smell food fast. You know that one? And so he comes over, and he brought me something that I love. So the family's Filipino, and they made these egg rolls like the size of my arm with this dipping sauce, and everything was homemade. And I was already rebuking the smell in the neighborhood because I'm like, this is... No, Lord, this, I don't know who moved a Chick-fil-A into my neighborhood. It smelled so good, and then they brought the food to me. And so I had to sit there at the table, and he was like waiting for me to take a bite. And so I said, Lord, bless these egg rolls. I'm having two. I receive your grace. I receive your love. I receive the message from heaven to take a bite. This was not a temptation of the Lord. I'm very discerning, and I just thought these are good to eat, right? They are good to eat. There's a side of fasting that feels like it's all about food, but it's really not. If you get a hold of fasting in your life, it's not about food at all. It's about God. In fact, fasting is hungering for God. If we go into this the right way, you will eat spiritual food. You will feast on what God has for you. And don't worry, you will come back to regular food again. And for anyone in here that needs guidance, just if you're afraid to fast, but you want to, if you're thinking about it, but you don't really have a lot of experience, find somebody. Or just come and see me or one of the leaders and say, I want to do this. I don't know what to give up. I don't know how to get in there. And there's some questions we can ask and help and guide you in it. So for all of those of you who entered into the fast, put your hand on your belly if you're fasting food. There's something in there, and it's called ghrelin. Ghrelin is the hunger hormone. This is that thing that makes your belly go after it's been like 2 or 3 hours. That thing creeps up inside of you, and it won't go away. It makes an embarrassing noise when you're sitting next to people you don't know well, and they look at you, and you got to go like... You know, it's that thing that creeps up and embarrasses you every 3 or 4 hours unless you give it a Twinkie or a cheeseburger. You know, that thing. It's the hunger hormone. Nobody has to remember to eat. God has made us in such a way where that thing happens on the deep inside of us that reminds us, hey, you didn't have breakfast. Hey, you didn't have lunch. You haven't eaten today. I am praying this morning that you experience something that I've experienced this week, which is a spiritual hungering for God that comes forth in such a way that when it's applied in faith, things begin to shift and they begin to move in the heavenly realm. I have had, I can't tell you because they're so personal and private, but I've had miracles happen this week because we've been pressing in to fasting and prayer. The kind where you get the message and you go, no way. The kind where something just pops and that bubble has been there. It's kind of like the testimony that our sister gave right before I came up. There's this thing that happens when you press into the place of fasting and prayer where God releases something from heaven. I want to remind you that Daniel fasted for this 21-day fast. Daniel fasted with no answers, with no results, had no idea it was doing any good until the last day. When you're pressing into a place and you're going, this isn't working, this is really hard, your stomach is growling. My wife came to me one time and she's like, my insides are eating my insides. I said, I know, that's what it's all about. We will not let the devil devour us in the name of Jesus, and we press in. Right, okay, so drawing back a little bit, my point is this. I want God to give us such a spiritual ghrelin, such a spiritual hunger for God, that all throughout this fast and this year, there is a stirring that comes up inside of you that says, I need more Jesus. I need my Bible. I need the presence of God. I am not satisfied, and I will not just snack on what the world has for me. I want God to give us such a hunger for God like one that we have for our snacks. If we could just get a hold of the hunger of God like the hunger for Oreos and Doritos, we'd be doing okay. My kids, if they can't find my wife, I'm in so much trouble today. She's in the pantry. I'm always got to go like, what? There's nothing in there. Just wait. When kids run in the kitchen right before dinner and they want stuff, you got to just wait, just wait, just wait. Something good is coming to you if you wait. If you press in just a little longer into the hunger, something good is coming, but you have to endure. There's an uncomfortable thing that comes with the hunger for God where you go, I've been praying, but he hasn't released it. I've been pressing into the presence of God, but he hasn't answered. And we're tempted to snack on the things of the world that comfort us right before the breakthrough comes. Beloved, don't give up. Don't give up. You have to endure for a season. It is how he's built us. He will remind you. If we have a spiritual hunger that is burning deep down inside of us, we will not be happy with snacks. You can get filled up on snacks. I did it last night. I did the stupid thing and just ate a lot of snacks. Skipped dinner, was busy. I knew I was breaking my fast. I did it with combos. I'm an example of what not to do. Okay, don't do that. Don't fast for 3 days and break it at the buffet. You will be in trouble. There's a hunger that's coming to this church if we press in, because there's an answer that is coming for this body if we press in. If we start to set aside the distractions and all the things that we've used to pacify ourselves, some of us in here have got messages from people that said, I'm fasting, streaming things on my TV. I sit on my couch for 6 hours every day and just watch stuff. I'm fasting social media, so please text me directly if there's things I need to know, because I won't be on Facebook because it's an issue, or Instagram or TikTok, all these things. Does anybody know what doom scrolling is? Doom scrolling is when you get on your phone at like 4 o'clock and then you put it down and it's 6 o'clock and you don't know where the time went. It's a real thing that exists out there. Maybe some of you are not dealing with that. I hope you're not. But there are some people that need to fast the things that are robbing their joy and taking things away from them. When you find yourself not having enough time for God, it's probably because you're using your time for something that God didn't intend for you. And so we need to reorganize and reprioritize this time of year so that we're tithing into the year. We're giving of ourselves to God so that the year comes with hope and expectation. I want to go into this year with hope and expectation. He's given me a vision for this place. He's given me a vision for ministry, for my relationship with God, for my family, and for my children. And I am not going to rob that. I'm not going to do another year like we had last year. And I'm going to press in. It's going to be better this year because God is going to be more involved. Because I'm going to hunger and I'm going to thirst. Because Jesus said, if we do that, we'll be filled. Who wants to be filled? I need to be filled. If you didn't raise your hands because you're lazy, not listening, or you don't know about God, but we need to be filled. We need it. We absolutely need it to get us out of the pantry of the world and stop taking the things that the world is trying to distract us with and get down to business with God and restore that spiritual hunger. It starts to grip you when it starts to get hard. Everybody quits when it's hard. Nobody quits when it's easy. We wait to the point where we're like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And that's when the voice comes in, because as you're pressing in close to God, the enemy wants to come in and rob what he's about to give you. He wants to steal away what you're pressing in for. And you're in the moment of no answer yet. And it got really tough. And you're just thinking, okay, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. I can't do this. And then the enemy comes in and says, you missed it. You heard him wrong. This is stupid. This is a waste of time. See, this isn't working. Nothing's ever going to work. You've tried this before. Anybody hear that? I've heard that. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not what the Word of God says. I'm standing on the Word of God in these moments, and I'm pressing through. So when it gets tough, that's when it gets good. We need that annoying, gnawing hunger in our lives. When you don't eat food, it starts to eat you up. Beloved, when you don't eat spiritual food, you get just as cranky as when you haven't had breakfast and lunch. When you don't have spiritual food, your life is just as miserable as if you haven't eaten for a couple days. You know what happens in fasting? Is all the rocks come to the surface. All the bad stuff. I don't fast because I get angry. Well, that's because God is showing you we're going to deal with anger in this very fast right here. Now, instead of blowing your top, you need to go into your prayer room and say, "What, Lord, I need you. I need you." This is not a time to quit because it's killing you. This is a time to press in because it's crucifying the flesh. It's crucifying the flesh. The bad things rise to the top so that they can be skimmed away. And when we fast, there's not a lot of other things in our lives. It allows the rest to come. It allows the rocks, the stones, to come to the surface so that God can go and remove them. Now, Dave, you didn't know this, but one of my first jobs ever that I got paid, maybe make some money in the process. They're over here. I love you guys. I'm just kidding. But you did this to me. You dropped me off at a farm where the guy paid us like $5 an hour to pick rocks. And he would drop off his bulldozer or whatever the thing was. And we had to fill it up and then beep the horn when it was full. And he would come out and dump it in the woods and move it a little ways. And we were rock pickers. And we were bitter young boys cursing everything. In the summer, picking rocks. Right now, in this field, I believe in the region, and here in this room, there's a rock picking. And it doesn't feel like a great reward, but it is preparing the soil for what God is about to do. It might not look like a lot. Four boys in the field. I think our parents all conspired against us and said, let's drop them off over at Pete's farm. And, you know, so, all right, I'm done picking on you guys. it didn't look like a lot with four 12-year-old boys in a field filling up a bucket for rocks. But what that field would produce would have fed all the families in the church. What that field would produce after that would support that family for an entire year in their industry. See, it might seem like a little bit right now. It might feel like a little hard work right now. It might be difficult to endure right now. But if we keep our hand to the plow, then God will provide on the back end. See, it's not for us to make it all happen. It's for us to press in and endure. And when we do this through fasting and prayer, it can feel difficult. But I promise that He's sending a reward. He always rewards those who diligently seek Him. And so I'm not doing it for the reward. I'm doing it because this is what God calls us to do. But when the time gets tough, I know that there's a harvest that is coming. I hope somebody in here asks God today for some spiritual hunger. Give me some spiritual hunger. And I say that because not just a reminder for all of us that do this regularly. I say that for those who have fallen asleep. I say that for those who have gorged themselves on everything that's out in the world, that doom scroll until 1 a.m, that use everything that's out there to pacify their lives and accomplish nothing in the kingdom. See, we do this in the beginning of the year because it's a good time to reflect on last year. Have we moved on in God? Because if not, we need that spiritual hunger again. We need to press into a place where we are no longer happy with what is going on around us. We have to look at our lives and say, there is so much more that God is calling us to. He needs to take us higher. And the only way to do that is to lessen myself. I am going to go into a time of fasting and praying and drawing near to the Lord so that I can experience Him in a greater way, because I need an encounter this year. I can't live on last year's blessings. I need an encounter this year because I can't live on last year's word. I need a new word. I need a fresh anointing. I need an encounter with God where He speaks to me, because when the going gets tough, He's going to reach out of heaven. He pulls that cord and starts the mower. He gets things going. But until then, it just seems like we're sitting. And when you hunger and thirst, guess what? There's a sitting. There's a feeling that you get right before the breakthrough called uselessness. Well, we've all been there. We've all had these moments where it's like, this kind of stinks. Nothing good is happening. You look around and you go, it feels like just everything's dying. It's all falling apart. We see in Scripture, there's a story that is told about Israel when they're surrounded by the Assyrians and they're cutting off their food and the people inside are starving. There's a little group of people that are outside. I want to talk to you about it today a little bit. We're in 2 Kings chapter 7. And it tells us this story. These people became so hungry that they started to eat things that were unclean. They ran out of food so bad that the Bible tells us they started to eat things that were unacceptable for normal consumption. The things that they would never even touch before, they're now paying and fighting over. They were so hungry. They were fighting over things they would never eat. Actually, let me back up. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25, it tells us, for 80 pieces of silver, you could buy a donkey's head. What they would do is they would cook it. They would peel back the skin. This is gross, I know. They would peel back the skin and they would eat it. They would eat whatever meat was there. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It tells us even worse. It was even more bad than that. The Bible tells us of an example. For 5 pieces of silver, you could buy a cup of bird poop to eat. Now, see, we don't really understand hunger, do we? Right? Because when the hunger fast gets too hard and God's not breaking through, we go to Chick-fil-A. We got a drive-through with, like, waffle fries. They were actually hungry, and the hunger took them into a place of desperation where they were doing things they would never do. Let me just take a time out for a second. Who's the youngest person in the room? Anybody from Kids Minute? Get out of here. Is there somebody up there? Okay. I'll skip it. People today will do things they never thought they would do, would swear they would never go there because they've been starving in intimacy. I'm not talking about couples. I'm talking about when you neglect intimacy you never thought you would, and we sit couples down and they explain this great mysterious, awful thing that has happened, and how could someone ever get there and eat a cup of bird poop and pay for it, Paul? It's because they lack something that they've been designed to hunger for. But they, when you don't feast on the things of God, you will go and feast on the disgusting things of the world. There was that. That was well said for the young people, but I think you guys know what I'm talking about. If we don't direct our spiritual hunger during these seasons to the right things, then those inner hungers will eventually drive you to the wrong things. They're the things we eat, the things we drink, the things people smoke, the things you look at on the internet. All of this tries to come in like a flood and say, you haven't touched the heart of God, touch this. It is the spirit of the world trying to fill you up so that you're not hungry for the things of God. If you're asking yourself this morning, why do I not hunger for the things of God? I love Jesus. I'm saved. But if for some reason, I just don't feel it. It may be because the world has filled you up. You can't sell food to someone coming out of an all-you-can-eat buffet. They won't buy it. But a man that was left in the desert that's wandered for days will eat out of a garbage can. Because God has put something in us in the spiritual sense to hunger for Him that is connected with these bodies. So that when we give up the things of the world, we suddenly bring to life the desire for the godly things. It's connected. That's why we give up breakfast. No more bagels and sausage. We just have prayer. And we eat the bread of God. They call it the fruit of the Spirit. When we partake of heavenly things, spiritual food, we get fed. We get fed. Jesus made mention to this quite a few times. They didn't get it. And then the ultimate they didn't get it was when he was like, you need to drink my blood and eat my flesh. And they're like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. We want cheeseburgers. We want manna. We want to be fed. We don't even want to work for it. We want the free stuff. The subscriptions, the internet, the videos, the constant reels. We want all of it. And the world will fill us up until we've got no more time for prayer. We've got no more time for the word. We got to multitask. I worship in my car. I listen to the Bible while I'm working. Because we won't set aside time for God, now we've asked Him to share the space with other things. And I'm encouraging you this morning to set aside the time. Carve it out, young people. Get in the habit of going to bed early and waking up early. Because the Lord woke up before the sun and went up to the top of the hill early. He went into the garden early. This is things that we need to teach people that are coming up under us. In our ministries, in our households, in our friend circles. Listen, I can tell you right now, only bad things happen after 10 o'clock at night with your phone in your hand. Go to bed. Go to bed. And get up before the sun. Watch it come up. There's literally medical theories behind watching the sun come up and how it affects our bodies. God has wired us to live here, but we're sleeping in because we're doom scrolling until 2 a.m. We don't have any time for God. I do this crazy thing when I disciple men, and they all hate it, but they do it. And in the end, they love it. Because when I sit down with people that say, I don't have time for the things of God, I pull out a blank piece of paper. It's got every hour of the day and every day of the week, and I say, fill this out with what you do. And all of a sudden, they could go get another full-time job. Look at all the free time you've got. Now let's see, what are we doing with it, and what should we do with it, and how can we press into the space of honoring God with our time? And it rearranges everything. 10 o'clock at night, they're in bed. 5 in the morning, they're on the couch with their Bible open. Not their phones, their Bibles. Why? I've told you this before. You'll hear me say it 1,000 times until you all get it. Because your Bible doesn't have pop-ups. It doesn't have notifications. And your phone is trying to distract you intentionally. It feels a little evil when you understand how it works. It's called an algorithm. There's little apps in there that go, you haven't opened me in a while. Boop. And they try to tease you with all kinds of things. I really think that there is a wickedness that can weave its way in if we let it, right? As for me and my phone, we will serve the Lord. It's easy to say about your front door, but what are you allowing to happen once it's inside? So maybe eat this week and get off your phones a little bit. Yeah, I'm so far off my notes. We try to substitute these junk foods into our lives when we feel unhappy, when things don't go our way, when the answer to prayer doesn't come, and we have a whole category that we call comfort food. You ever heard of it? Yeah. It just puts you into a lull. It makes you feel good. It releases all of the happy things because we love chicken parmesan. That's why we serve it on love night. Because it's melted cheese, and God knew there was something good in that. I can hear it. I can hear the grumbling. Everyone in here, I can hear it. This is a hunger for God. Put your hand on your belly and receive it. It's a new season of eating spiritual things. Listen, I'm not rebuking you if you're having lunch or had breakfast today. It's not about that. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added. It's about reprioritizing so that we don't look at our lives and say, I'm miserable. Let's go to the mountains. Let's go to the beach. Let's go to the ocean. Let's rent a Vrbo. Let's go travel the world because I'm not happy. It can't be because I'm not happy. It can't be because I pressed into God and He didn't respond. So now I'm going to go explore the pleasures of this world. It needs to be, I have sought God and He has brought me to a place where He's going to show me wondrous things wherever I go. He's allowing me to enjoy and take in creation because He has met me and He has proven to me that He is faithful and He made all of this. But on the outside, you just see two people with a plane ticket. Which one are you? What would your walk look like if you fed your spirit first and snacked on life after? I think we need to get up early, reprioritize our lives, and make sure we're spending time with God. You know, Christians like us like to use this phrase, it's a relationship. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. You know, we'll even argue about it. How's the relationship if you haven't sat with your spouse for a week? How's the relationship if they wrote you a love letter 66 books long and you've only cracked it open a couple times this year because you're busy? How's that relationship doing? If he's there waiting for you and you come into your house where you're alone, you come into your space where you're alone and you just never say a word. It would be like saying, if we don't pray to God regularly, if we don't read His word regularly, we're kind of giving the silent treatment. Any married couples in the room? Come on, you chickens. All right. Everyone is well-versed in silent treatment, right? We all know what that means. We all know the silent treatment. I'm upset. I'm not ready to talk. And I'm not talking to you. And we just, you know, in the hallway, like a stranger. You know, hated Ammon. He neither spoke good nor evil to him. That means when we reject God, we act in hatred toward the one who made us. His words, not mine. We need to come back to a place where we fall in love again with our beloved, the one who loves us, the one who made us, the one who has designed a good thing for us. Yet we're so distracted with our remotes, with our things, with our plans. I'm glad that you mentioned that thing this morning about work. We've been praying. Brother, you've been busy. And I know busy. And I think there's other people here that can relate. That when you said that, there was jealousy in the room. I could love a conversation like that with my boss. He's got me running like a dog. There's a prioritizing that the Holy Spirit is bringing us into this year that will absolutely change things if you press into the presence of God. It will absolutely change things. I know he's drawing us away from the distractions of the world. If you're trying to figure out which streaming service to cancel, cancel them both and start over. Get into your Bible, get a reading plan for the year. Guess what? You'll forget about Hulu and Paramount Plus and all the things the Cowboys are doing that never happened. It's so enticing. But some people will sit on the couch for hours and complain about how long church went. Some people won't read the Word of God but got so many boyfriends on the bookshelf, they can get out of life real quick and just escape into a book, into a fantasy world. It's happening out there. Because we're so unhappy with life, we're searching because our hearts are made for longing. And if we don't eat the things that we're supposed to eat in our spirit, we will eat the things that make us sick. I'm so concerned for a church that knows more about what Sean Hannity said this week than God speaking to them. I am so concerned about a people that is wrapped up in politics to the point where it becomes the Savior instead of the Lord. I'm not saying I'm against politics and I'm not, you know, speaking down about staying in the know. But we should understand this. When we get wrapped up in politics and all of the important things that are actually important, it should drive us to our knees and pray and to cry out to God for our country and to pray for our leaders and to ask the Holy Spirit to invade the White House and give guidance that we would not be taken away. When we get wrapped up in war, it's inevitable we eventually will be taken away. So we need to get wrapped up in warfare because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so we're taking authority in those realms. Take authority in those realms. Still vote, but take authority in the supernatural unless you get a little unhappy. You got to look around and go, this can't be it. This can't be it. This can't be all that God had intended for us. Even in these wicked days, there's got to be more. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3, we see the story of the lepers. And they're outside of the city. The city is surrounded. Israel has no food. They're inside doing the gross stuff we talked about. On the outside, the outskirts, the ones that were kicked out, thrown out, they're lepers. Their lives are falling apart. They're literally, come on, really? Their body parts fall off because they're lepers, so they're falling apart. I shouldn't have to explain a joke. They're just getting warmed up. So they're outside of the city, and there's no food. There used to be a group of people that would bring the trash, and they would throw it out outside of the city, and the people that were outcast, that were going to die, would eat the trash. The lepers, who were not allowed in because it was highly contagious, they would make everyone sick, they had to stay outside. Because they started eating the garbage inside the city, there was nothing for them. And they were, so the city was surrounded by the Assyrians, who were intentionally cutting them off. So we get this glimpse into the lepers' conversation, which is cool because that means somebody talked to them and found out how did it all go down. You should go back and read this chapter sometime. Not now. Don't get lost in it now. But it's a really cool story. I'm going to just show you a little bit of it. In 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, one of them looks to the other guys and says, "Why sit here until we die?" He knew we're going to run out of food and we are going to die. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is going to end in death. And so they cook up this plan. So they come up with this plan to march towards the enemy. Human nature to back away from an enemy, right? To hide, especially if you're weak, to hide, to retreat. And they were like, we're going to die either way. And there's no food in the city. And we're not allowed in there anyway. Maybe if we go down to the Assyrians, and maybe we'll find some garbage there. They're probably up on the hill. One of them's thinking about tacos. The other one's thinking about fried chicken and the good old days. And, oh, boy, it would be good. Wouldn't it be good? and he gets these sick rabble of people actually falling apart. And he motivates them to go somewhere, to get up and to move. I believe that the word of the Lord this morning is the thing that will move you from where you are to where you need to be is hunger. It is a motivating factor that the Lord will use when you look at your surroundings and say, if it stays like this, we just die. If it stays like this, it doesn't get better, it doesn't get worse, the inevitable just comes on us. And I believe the Lord is speaking to us this morning that if you see where you're supposed to be and you're not there, the only thing that might motivate you is hunger. So we need to not shy away from the hunger. It's the only thing that moved these guys toward their destiny. One of them stood up and said, I'm fed up with this life. I don't want to do this anymore. If we stay here, we die. And the brightest one of the bunch stood up and said, if we go there, we live. But if we stay here, we die. And if we go there and they kill us, then we die. He must have been the one with the college degree. He was a really bright one. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die. Yeah, I know. Let it sink in. It's a good bumper sticker for the leper group. It was hunger that came in, and he was like, let's try it out. Let's just see what happens. I don't have time to tell you the rest of the story. It's an awesome story. If you don't remember, you should go back and read it. I believe there are things that God will do for people if we would just hunger for him. Fasting is hungering for God. He wants us to press in to that place where we say, I don't need this. The things that you want for me, God, you fill me up. You sustain me. When you press into that place of desperation, he'll bring things to you from the neighbor's kid. He'll bring things from a crow. He'll bring you to a widow's house. He will take you to a place where provision comes in a way you never expected. And right behind the provision is the miracle that you've been waiting for. It is the one he lifts up, doesn't he? But it's up to him. It's up to him. We come to him with our hunger. Things have become so bad within the walls that the Bible records this one last thing that Jerusalem was doing, and I can barely believe it. The Bible says that they began to boil and eat their own babies, their own flesh and blood. They began to bargain in desperation. 2 Kings 6:28, it says, this woman said to me, give me your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. See, we don't understand hunger at all. When we don't go to the Lord and get fed in our spirit, when we don't go to him in those intimate places where we can just be real and say, God, I'm a mess and I need you to fix it. When we just try to block it all out with all the things that the world has given us, we drink ourselves into a stupor, eat ourselves until diabetes 2 comes and takes us away. We just go into a slumber, a state of slumber. We're not pressing into God with our hunger. We're just hoping we forget. We just hope we forget. And what happens in those moments when we don't feed our spiritual things is we begin to turn on each other. We begin to turn on each other. We start to desire what the other person has. We start to come up with schemes and tricks and conflict. I know none of you guys have ever experienced conflict within a church before. Don't know anyone that's ever been hurt by a church before. But believe me, it's out there. It's happened. Believers and brothers have turned against each other because they're not feasting before the Lord. Because they're getting frustrated with the Spirit of God because he didn't break through in their timing. Because they're 10 days into a 21-day fast and they're in the drive-thru for Burger King because God's just not answering their prayers on time. It's funny that we put time on God when in another time we'll say he's timeless. He's the God that lives outside of time, but he's late coming through for me. I'm hoping this morning somebody will feel the hunger to get into a place and sit before God and say, everything can change at your word. You know, he didn't think in Genesis 1. He didn't think and creation happened. He spoke it. For some of you that just have a lot going on up here, I want to encourage you to speak it out. There is something that happens with our words when we speak it forth and we declare it, God, by faith. I come to you and I'm starving. I would gnaw on this chair on Wednesday. It's been a while. Man, I would eat anything, but I don't want food and I don't want garbage and I don't want a cup of bird poop. And I definitely don't want to devour my brothers and my sisters. I need to turn that hunger towards God and say, I need a greater experience with you. I need an encounter with the one who made me to set things at. Lamentations 4, verse 9 says, those slain by the sword are better than those who die of hunger. Another one says, it's better to go down fighting. It's better to go down fighting than to sit there and die. For good or for bad, hunger will drive you. Most of us are driven by this hunger that will take us to a place where we either honor God or dishonor God. You get to choose today. Jacob offered Esau a bowl of beans in trade for his birthright. That's why I made that yesterday. We had that. I was going to eat yesterday and I had a bowl of beans. I didn't give up my godly promises, but I was wrapped up in this word. I'm going to share something with you towards the end as well. God was encountering me as I'm preparing to come here because there are things he wants us to take hold of this morning. Because what I ate yesterday, a little bowl of rice and beans, was not worth giving up what God had promised for me. And I was able to just step into that experience for a minute and go, how hungry do you have to be? And you're so close. You know, Bible says he was almost home. He was so close to home. And he fell. Some of us are going to press into this and be so close. And you need to hear this morning before it happens. God is on the other side of pressing through. Do not give up. I had miraculous encounters this week that never happened in the last 3 years. I've been praying for years for this to happen. Years. And it broke through this week. But you said you had Doritos last night, and you said you had beans yesterday, and you had lunch with everybody all week. How could you be fasting? You've never seen me eat. God has given me an appetite. My appetite, people, I see you. I had an overweight boss who called me the skinniest fat guy he's ever met because I could out-eat him. I just have a good diet, a good appetite. I could do it. And so when I don't eat, I engage in hunger. I get there, and I just allow the Spirit to give me that level of hunger for him. I just allow the Spirit to say, man, if it hurts this bad to not have breakfast or dinner, it's got to hurt the heart of God for me to not come to him on a regular basis. It's got to hurt the heart of God when he's prompting me to pray, but I just turn on the TV because I don't want to think about my problems. It's got to hurt the heart of God, the one who says, I love you, I'll never leave you, for us to turn our back on him and give up on prayer because our answers didn't come on time. It's him that says, it's me, I am the one who lifts up and tears down. We have to bring our things to him and hunger that he will take care of them for us. Matthew 5, he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness will be filled. Not Netflix, righteousness. Righteousness. Some of us hunger and thirst for the next Star Wars movie coming out. But well, what about righteousness in our lives? What about overcoming the things we're afraid to tear? No more. This year, no more. I will press in. I will set time aside. I'm going to close with this. I believe many families have experienced a parallel with this story of the prodigal son. The Lord's been speaking to me about this since I was him. What got him out of the pig pen? Wasn't the smell of the pigs. which you would think that would do it. It wasn't the betrayal of his friends when his money ran out. You would think that might be enough to motivate us. It wasn't any of those things. What brought him back to the Father in Luke 15, 17, he's quoted by saying this: "How many of my Father's servants have bread enough to spare, yet I perish with hunger?" It was hunger that drove him back to the Father's house. It was hunger. But while I was highlighting this, I do funny things. I like to highlight my notes. It's more like a puzzle than it is a book for me. And when I see colors, I know to make sure I circle back or has to say it if it's a certain. When I was going through highlighting my notes, something struck me that I had never seen before. In almost 20 years of ministry and serving the Lord and speaking to people and sitting on scripture, the Lord asked me a question: who are the Father's servants? Who are the Father's servants? How many of my Father's servants have bread enough to spare, yet I perish with hunger? Who are the Father's servants? It's us, isn't it? It's us. When we fast, we have bread to share. When we fast, we have something to share. The church is designed, the family of God is designed in a way, the house of God is designed for those who have been fed up, who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, to look at the church and say, they've got bread to spare. They've got something in their lives that I need. I don't know what's different about them, but I need that because my life is just nothing. I can't even walk around with a smile on my face, but every time I see Susan, she's glowing. The Spirit of God. It's the bread that we have. That the servants, even the servants in my Father's house, have bread to share. It was hunger that got him up out of that mud and said, I'll just go back and serve. I don't need to be in charge. I don't need to be recognized. Because I don't want to eat this stuff anymore. I don't want to drink this stuff anymore. I don't want to take this stuff anymore. I don't want to look at this stuff anymore. I'm wondering if anybody in here knows somebody that's hungering. And now here's the spiritual dynamic of how it works. You hope they hunger, right? You wish, you pray. Boy, I hope they come to their senses. One of the translations of the Bible says he came to his senses and went home. When we hunger in the Spirit, God will use hunger to wake them up. I want you to know something as you're going into this fasting season, that maybe you're praying for somebody else that's out there that needs to return home. When you feel that spiritual hungering deep down inside you, and you're like, how am I going to get through the day? I want you to, in your mind, put that on them. Lord, give them a hunger for what they knew. They were raised up in the way that they should go. And you promised that you would return them, that they would never depart from it, that the word of God would always be written on their hearts. Lord, I pray that they would come back, that they would feel a hunger, that they would never have a friend like they had with Jesus, that they would never experience anything. The relationships of the world would all feel empty. God, I ask that you would take that hunger and then you would place that on them, that they would look around and see what they're eating, what they're looking at, what they're drinking, and none of it would satisfy. Lord, I put that hunger on them in the Spirit in Jesus' name. I put that hunger on your sons and your daughters that they would return. Lord, I ask that you would turn the beacon of light on in your Father's house, that they would see it and say, what have I been doing? They would suddenly come to their senses, the cloud would be lifted, and they would come home. He didn't take a shower first. He was with the pigs. He smelled bad when they put that coat on him. But the Father doesn't care what you have done. You can't out-sin the cross. He sent his Son to the cross. This Son went to the pigs. But the Son of God nailed to the cross. The blood that was shed was enough for all mankind. On the cross, he thirsted. You remember? He didn't want what they were offering him. He was thirsty for what God was about to do in the earth. He sensed the urgency of the hour, and he said, I am so thirsty. I am so parched. The gland is so dry. God, would you pour out rivers of living water so that life would spring forth where it looked like death before? Does anybody have that prayer? Can we just set in for a moment and say, God, we lift these people up before you.